Welcome to The Download here on WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest just released a new book of daily affirmations and spiritual insights, but the book is not inspired by some ancient philosopher or religious leader. Nope. Instead, it uses the lyrics and prose from hip-hop mogul Jay-Z.
H to the Izzo, V to the Izzay. For shizzle, my nizzle used to dribble down in VA. Was herbing them in the home of the Turpins. Got it dirt cheap for them. Plus, if they were short with cheese, I would work with them. Born in, got rid of that dirt for them. Wasn't born hustlers, I was birthing them. H to the Izzo, V to the Izzay. For cheesy, my kneesy, keep my arms so breezy. Can't leave rap alone, the game needs me. Haters want me clap, they... It ain't easy. Cops wanna knock me. DA wanna box me in. But somehow I beat them charges like Rocky. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. Not guilty. He who does not feel me is not real to me. Therefore he doesn't exist. So poof, vamoose, son of a. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. With shizzle, my nizzle used to dribble down at VA. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. Not guilty, y'all got to feel me. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzay. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture, to let them know what it look like when they're in a roaster. Show them how to move in a room full of vultures. Industry shady, you need to be taken over. Label owners hate me, I'm raising the status quo up. I'm overcharging for what they did to the cold crush. Pay us like you owe us for all the years that you hold us. We can talk, but money talk, so talk more bucks.
The book is called WWJZD, What Would Jay-Z Do? And author Quinn Bryan combs through the full canon of the icon's music to find inspiring lyrics and verse that apply to her and your everyday life. Quinn Bryan is a Chicagoan and the woman behind The Real Black Card, a marketing company that gives discounts to consumers that shop at small black businesses in several Chicago neighborhoods. She's with me now. Quinn, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So this is great. So where does this idea come from? Because there's a great intro to the book about your experiences as a young girl with Jay-Z and Jay-Z's music. But where does this idea of the daily affirmations come from?
So candidly, I'd written, it wasn't called What Would Jay-Z Do at the moment. It was like, What Would Hove Do? I'd written it like 3 years ago, and it was just my experience with his music, my experience with him, my interpretation of his lyrics. And I stopped, like, who cares? Who are you? What difference does it make? And I'd started reading affirmations books over those years. And I noticed that this, like, it was just extremely inspiring. And I kept referencing the lessons I was learning to Jay-Z lyrics. And, you know, one of my challenges that I had was thinking, you know, a lot of people don't even read these days. Who's actually going to sit down and read a book about Jay-Z?
Right.
So I thought that that was it. Like, for essentially with the length of an Instagram post, a long Instagram post anyway, you can get that daily motivation and be inspired and even get a song to be the soundtrack for your day, I thought.
It's pretty amazing to think about Jay-Z in that way. Because I know him to be quite a lyrical genius, and his music is inspiring.
Yeah.
But to be able to pull out affirmations from those lyrics to fill a full calendar year, that was surprising to me.
I feel like I have enough for at least two volumes of What Would Jay-Z Do? It's so many. And I think that's also why I wanted to do it, because over the years, he's just gotten so much flack for only, like, being braggadocious and speaking only about, like, the money that he's earned and things like that. And I would have those. He has that lyric about how people argue all day about who's the best MC. I feel like that was, like, so much of my life for so many years, because people were just writing him off.
Really?
As being a braggadocious rapper.
Where does your love of Jay-Z come from? Why that MC? Why Jay-Z?
It honestly was just from the moment I first heard his song. I was about 15 years old and heard it on a Chicago radio station, and I think his delivery just really spoke to me. And also just listening to him, I'm like, this guy's pretty intelligent. So I've always been drawn to intelligent people. Like, I seek them out and I stand next to them, essentially. So I think just his music, it just felt like someone was speaking to me, and it definitely from the beginning felt like I could learn something from this guy.
I'm it's intriguing because there will be socially conscious rappers and politically conscious rappers. Nas comes to mind, or here in Chicago, Common is another.
Sense, yeah.
And Talib Kweli, yeah. and others who, that's their genre. That's their bag. That's what they do. They're Jay-Z doesn't necessarily fit into that category. He definitely is a wider spectrum, and he will have a lot of lyrics that may not be that inspiring that, like you said, might go into the braggadocious area. So why, for someone who, you know, you're looking for intelligent lyrics and things, why Jay-Z as opposed to those other rappers?
Well, I think Jay-Z does offer intelligent lyrics. He just sprinkles it with a little bit of glitter for you. And he gives people those songs that are radio friendly. I think sometimes with the rappers like the Common Sense and the Talib Kweli, it becomes a little polarizing. Like, no one, you know, wants to be preached to. If they do, they'll go to church. And Jay-Z kind of makes you think you're partying, but if you're really, really paying attention to the lyrics, that's where you're getting the jewels.
For a lot of Americans, and I would say everybody around the world now with Jay-Z, they're familiar with his music, and they may know a lot from the successful singles, the hits, Top 40, Big Pimpin', Hard Knock Life, all that down the line. So there's a deeper side to Jay-Z that doesn't necessarily make it to those songs that get in heavy rotation on the radio stations.
Yeah, but those songs cause you to buy the album. So if you are a real fan and you listen to the album from beginning to end, you get those jewels crunched in between the Big Pimpins and the Hard Knock Life.
Which is hard. It's hard. I have to say, today is a great example. Like, this morning when I was driving in, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to talk to Quinn, and I have to get my refresher on Jay-Z. And you go to iTunes, Tidal, whatever your spot is.
Tidal.
And you recognize quickly that they have condensed what you think you should be listening to Jay-Z, meaning there's an essentials or there's a playlist. And because he's such a large and just influential artist.
Yeah.
So it's harder for listeners today to choose Reasonable Doubt or choose one of his early albums and actually just play the thing through.
Well, I think with anything, when you're quote unquote doing your research, you start from the beginning. So that's where Reasonable Doubt comes in. But also, that's I mean, obviously, because Tidal is something that Jay-Z is behind, that's where I go. But if you look at Tidal, then he'll actually have playlist songs he was inspired by, or the hits of Rockefeller or things like that. So to actually get playlists from his perspective, or from the perspective of fans, I think that's a good place to start, because you'll find so many things that you may have overlooked. And, you know, even real fans, you're like, oh, I forgot about this song. So I think that's awesome to get those playlists and just kind of get those songs that may have gone over your head.
All right, let's get into the story, because I have a couple of lyrics that I want you to break down. But before we get there...
Well, let's be clear. I'm not ever coming from a perspective of I'm breaking down his lyrics. It's just I'm a fan, and this is...
And how they inspire you.
Exactly.
And that does play in the book. It doesn't feel like... Like, it's a project in which you're trying to figure out what Jay-Z means or what his lyrics are intended to mean.
Yeah.
These are how they affect you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you.
Yeah.
At 15 years old, you're introduced to Jay-Z. You have a great story that introduces the book about your experience trying to meet Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Trying to get it. Because at a young age, you are attracted to his intelligence and what he is saying. Probably a little bit of bravado too, but
absolutely.
It starts the story. You know, where we pick up is where you go to a concert and you bring a sign. Now, signs, you don't usually bring signs to a Jay-Z concert,
no, or a rap concert. Period. At that point, and I think I mentioned, especially in Chicago, Chicago fans, Chicago people are just so cool. They're like, I'm just here to, you know, I might as well be on stage. So not only did we bring a sign, we brought a hot pink sign, and it didn't say like, Jay-Z, we love you. It flat out was like, Jay-Z, can I get a internship, marketing internship? So we held it up the whole concert.
What was the reason? Why did you put that on the sign?
Because that's what we wanted. So it's like, hey, let's ask for what we want. And
why did you want that? At 15, you would think there's other reasons you want to be I guess involved with an artist, but why a marketing internship?
Well, it was never a goal to be a rapper. I mean, you know, in school, I'd like write little lyrics down and exchange them with my friends, but that was never like a real goal. I'm like, the money's somewhere else. Like, the money's behind the scenes. It's not like with the rapper. And I mean, I think in general, that's been my personality, to play the background and not be like forward facing. But I just saw what he was doing. I'm like, you're like really gaining this traction, like who you're standing next to, who you're pairing yourself with. Like, he ain't your average rapper. Like, that just, that really stood out to me. So right there, I'm like, the time to really get on this is in the beginning. Like, let me, you know, hop on this bandwagon early and learn some things. And instead of, you know, getting those internships that I felt like my school was partnering us with, I'm like, this is the one. It'll be fun and it'll be insightful.
Right. So does he see the sign?
He does. So after the entire concert, like, we couldn't believe it. We enjoyed ourselves and we held it up the entire concert, my friend and I. And we're like, he didn't even mention the sign. So towards the end, he's like wrapping it up. And, you know, if you've ever been to a Jay-Z show, generally he does things where he points out to the crowd that he's seeing you. He'll be like, hey, you with the navy shirt with the stars on. And you're like, I knew he saw me. So essentially he did that. He starts reading the sign out loud, like, Jay-Z, can I get a... And he laughs, and we're like, okay, so what's the answer? So he just kind of continues, like, ending the show, and we rush out to the hallways, and we're like talking to security, like, didn't you hear him? He just read our sign. And they're looking at us like, are these girls serious or are they just like groupies?
Right,
and
not our first time trying to keep women from going backstage.
Exactly. Right. So you can tell a couple of them considered it, but when it ended, it was like, yeah, no, not gonna happen. So I like rushed to the payphone to call home to, you know, let my family know, like, hey, what happened? So my stepmom already knew what happened. And we're like, wait a minute. So my brother had called to tell her that Jay-Z read the sign, and he'd said, hey, the girls with the sign, come back to the stage. To this day, I still don't know if that's true. Even as late as last week, my brother's like, yeah, that happened. And, you know,
and
I didn't hear
it. You missed it. You had already tried to get backstage, but he was on stage saying, come up here with me.
Exactly. Wow. So, you know, being a little too eager.
So you take that as, this is really your in.
Yeah.
He's going to remember you.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the time has elapsed, but you are in New York City. And
it was a couple of months,
and you are intent on this internship, this marketing internship.
Yes.
And you continue to try and get Jay-Z's ear.
Yeah, I plan my spring break around going to New York, and my same friend and I that made the sign head to New York, and we hang out, and, you know, we get in touch with a friend that she'd made while at school that happened to live in New York and worked for like a one-off company of Jay-Z's. And in that, he brought a friend along. So he's like, why'd you guys want to come to New York? And we're like, Jay-Z, Grace Papaya, all, you know, like Madison Square Garden, like all of this. And he, you know, he laughs. I think he decides that we're harmless. And he's like, oh, so did you go to the office? And we're like, what? Like, where's this office? How are we supposed to know? So he's like, it's on the back of the album. And we're like, what? So of course we like rush to the album, and we're like, okay, we know what we're doing tomorrow. And we go to like a FedEx and like print up our resumes, and we stand outside handing out resumes like they're flyers to anybody that walks in. And finally,
hilarious,
this guy that was on Ja Rule's label at the time is like, what? Like, wait a minute, what are you guys trying to do? And we're like, you know, we want an internship with Rockefeller. And he's like, well, I mean, you guys can come upstairs with me. So we're like, we're like, wait a minute, this is what we were waiting for. We don't know him, but it's an office building. Like, what could really happen? So he like lets us in. The security guard had been like mean mugging us the whole time. And he's like, they're with me. So we're like, yeah. So he takes us upstairs. It turns out that Murder, Inc.'s office was right across the street from Rockefeller. And the whole time we're walking behind him, we're looking back like, but we want to go over there. So they were very nice to us. And, you know, they even offered us.
Yeah, they said, I mean, you're in Chicago, but they're like, so Murder, Inc.'s like, you can come work for us. And you guys are like,
yeah,
no, that's not the end game.
That's not the one we were looking for. And we didn't want to, you know, like, I mean, listening to Jay-Z, like, loyalty is a big thing. So we're like, we don't want to look disloyal and work for Murder, Inc. And then when Jay-Z sees like what type of like shining stars we are, it's like, hey, come work with us. So we're like, oh yeah, okay. I mean, I don't really know how serious they were. We didn't live in New York, unpaid internships.
Yeah,
New
you were
York
young. Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
but
the story ends up that, you know, Jay-Z is leaving the and this is really where it picks up. This is the part that I find fascinating, is, you know, you see you get a chance to actually actually see him getting into a vehicle.
Yeah, so from a distance. So after leaving the building and running into Dame Dash and, you know, like calling this a success, we are like trying to figure out our meal, and my friend, who cannot see at all, like she still doesn't wear the glasses that she needs to wear, she looks over and she's like, "That looks like Ty Ty, who is Jay-Z's best friend." And I look up and I'm like, "That's Jay-Z." So we take off running. We have on heels at this point, and Jay-Z's like hopping in the SUV, and we take off running down the street, resume is still in hand, and the SUV stops at a red light. So we're like, okay, this is our moment. So we're like banging on the window, putting our resumes up to the window, and the driver is just like totally not rattled at all. He's like, "No, no, no." And finally like cracks the window, and he's like, "He said take them." And we like shove the resumes in the window, and we're like, "Jay-Z is gonna put two and two together.
We were the ones in Chicago.
The one with the sign asking for a marketing internship." And we'd like, I think we waited by our phone for weeks, like, or email, like, assuming
everything,
that.
Yeah.
Like, I fully expected Jay-Z himself to call me, like, "Hey, I've been looking for you girls." Never happened.
Never happened.
So I totally, like, had beef with Jay-Z
so
after that.
So you had beef after that, and at a certain point in your life, you were against Jay-Z. You were with Nas. You went to the other side.
Internally. No, I never verbally express that to anyone.
But like, you were upset.
You know, I was upset. I'm like, I'm just trying to get an internship. Like, you know, this isn't, you know, I'm not trying to be a rapper. Like this, I know you don't get this every day. So
I think your story is one that resonates. And I think that is relatable to a lot of people when they deal with celebrities that they believe to be their idols or icons.
Yeah.
or people that you know, that you're attracted to.
Yeah.
That interaction, when you get to that real person interaction, if it doesn't go the way that your brain has processed it, you do create beef. You do create this idea that you're like, "I'm no longer that person's friend." We all have done that at some point.
I don't mess with him anymore, but I'm still like listening to the music.
So how did you get back to this point where now as an adult, as a professional, that you are creating material inspired by Jay-Z?
Obviously my love for him, well, you know, my love for him never went away. Like, concerts came, I still was there. Like, I could literally perform the concerts for him. So, after every concert, I would still like leave like being inspired. Like, you know, even the guy I was dating at the time, we went to our first Jay-Z concert together, and he wanted to like be hugged up at the concert. And I'm like, "Give me some room. Like, I need to perform here." So, it just was a very real thing. It never went away. Like, the lyrics always touched me. So I think one day I just was like at home and just started like writing. Like, I have about 700 notes in my phone. So I just started writing, and I'm like, I get all these big ideas all the time. Like, I'm going to write a book. I'm just going to break it down. He's so misunderstood. This is what I'm going to do. And it turned out to be about maybe like 90 pages of a book. And that's when I talked myself out of it. Like, people don't read, you know, I'm like, you know, other than the people that know me, no one knows that I'm an authority on Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. So I just like let it, you know, die. And finally, I'm like, you know what? This thought is still here. I just need to do it and just put it out there. Like, what would Jay-Z do?
What would Jay-Z do? And that's the title of the book, WWJZD, What Would Jay-Z Do? December 13th, the day we're taping this, you have, from A Reasonable Doubt, you have the lyric, "The streets school us to spend our money foolish." It's from the song Can I Live?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Well, I mean, I think that's something that definitely like resonates with African Americans. You know, we tend to wear a wealth on our backs. Sneakers come out, like we're buying Jordans from 20 years ago, 30 years ago that we had back then. And, you know, you'll check with some people and their investments are like nil, like nothing, but you have thousands of dollars worth of sneakers in your closet. So it's just something that make people think about how they're spending their money, what they're doing with their money, and how they could be better spending their money. It's better to make sure that, you know, generations from now, people are wealthy instead of, you know, looking fly today. So
all right, for coming up later in this month, you have this is from Friend or Foe from Reasonable Doubt as well. Friend or foe, yo, state your biz.
Yeah, I think sometimes, like, there's even been this term that's been created, frenemies, where you'll think someone is your friend and, like, secretly they're hating on you, plotting on you, and you'll be so caught up in that friendship that you won't even really notice it. So it's just kind of be aware of who's around you, make sure people are supporting you. Even people that claim to be your friends aren't necessarily helping you be your best self. They're encouraging you to be messy. They're encouraging, you know, your downfall in so many ways. So it's more of a pay attention to who you're calling your friend. And just because someone says they love you, mm-hmm. just because someone says they're your friend, make sure that what they're doing is encouraging you to be the best you.
Right. And their influence on you, right?
Yeah.
All right, another one. We know the pain is real, but you can't heal what you never reveal. This is Kill Jay-Z from the latest.
Yeah, so, I mean, just in tone with his life and what's been going on, I think so many things happen in our life and we try to hide them and bury them instead of actually facing them and becoming stronger as a result of them. We spend so much time trying to hide what happened or hide that pain and, you know, act like we haven't been hurt. And, you know, I mean, if you express that, you'll notice other people will be like, yeah, that happened to me. And you'll become stronger through that expression of just transparency. So I think just instead of just faking perfection, actually facing what's happened to you and becoming stronger from those battles, you know, that I think that's just kind of what life is about, like going through it and learning those lessons.
For you to think back to when you were 15 years old and you first were introduced to Jay-Z and to where you're at now, where you put this book out, are there aspirations to meet Jay-Z? Are there aspirations still?
I mean, even more so now. I mean, it turns out that he is exactly who I thought he was. He wasn't a billionaire back when I was 15, but while I couldn't fathom him being a billionaire, I knew something. I knew it was going to be big. It was going to be explosive, and it was bigger than what I was seeing. So seeing all that he has become and what I'm sure he is to become is like, yeah, you were right. Like, why, like, if you'd, you know, studied under this person for the last 20 years, imagine where you'd be. And I think writing the book was kind of like, wait a minute, you could have been studying under him. Actually, he's giving you the blueprint, right? I mean, the blueprint. One and two, you know, so
it does make you think about evolution in music and artists and their own plan.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about the evolution of his music and what he's in, even the names of some of his albums and everything about it, if that's laid out, if there is a long-term strategy or long-term story that Jay-Z is telling.
And that's the thing. I absolutely think it is. I don't know if you paid attention to the logo, but there's a chess piece in there. And that's one thing about Jay-Z. He's always playing chess. Who he aligns himself with, you know, even his partnership, like with some artists, it's like, okay, I just gained their fans. Even his marriage, not to say that that's not authentic and genuine, but they've made each other bigger and better. So I think everything he does, he actually does. I mean, I think he's gone on record as saying it. He plays for the long term.
Yeah.
So he's just not like, hey, this is fun for now. It's like, okay, what value does this person add? What value does doing this add? I think so many of us don't weigh the risk versus the rewards, or we don't really think about the future. It's that whole like YOLO. And YOLO like can mess you up in 10 years.
What's his famous line? It's, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Yeah. And I think he's proven that.
That's great.
So,
well, I love that you did this. The book is called WWJZD, What Would Jay-Z Do? The author is Quinn Bryan. She's my guest. Quinn, if it happens that you do get a chance to meet and talk with Jay-Z, you got to let us know.
Absolutely. And I think everyone will know.
And thanks for being here. Thanks for being my guest.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the patrol. Foes that want to make sure my cask is closed. Rap critics saves money cash. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? If you grew up with hoes and you're zapped with toes, you celebrate the minute you was having dope. I'm like, critics, you can kiss my whole ass. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio if I don't play they show. They don't play my hits, well, I don't give a so. Rap mags try and use my black, and so advertisers could give them more cash for ads. I don't know what you take me as, or understand the intelligence that Jay-Z has. I'm from rags, the richest, so I ain't dumb. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. Yeah, it's 94 and my trunk is raw. And my rear view mirror is the motherfucking law. Got two choices, y'all. Pull over the car or bounce on the devil, put the pedal to the floor. And I ain't trying to see no highway chase with Jake. Plus, I got a few dollars, I can fight the case. So I pull over to the side of the road, I heard.
Son, do you know why I'm stopping you for?
Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Am I under arrest or should I guess some more?
Well, you was doing 55 in the 54. Lost the registration and step out of the car. You carrying a weapon on you, I know a lot of you are.
I ain't stepping out of the door, my paper's legit.
Well, do you mind if I look around the car a little bit?
Well, my glove compartment is locked, so is the trunk in the back. And I know my rights, so you gon' need a warrant for that.
Aren't you sharp to tack? Type of law or something, somebody important or something.
I ain't passed the ball, but I know a little bit enough that you wanna legally search my.
We'll see how smart you are when the K9 comes.
I got 99 problems, but a b- ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a b- ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a b- ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a b- ain't one.